It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
For our first post-election catch-up, I asked Green Party co-leader James Shaw for his thoughts on the election results, what the incoming government could mean for climate action progress in Aotearoa, and the ACT Party's calls for a referendum on Te Tiriti and what the implications of this would be in his opinion. Here is that interview. Last time I spoke to you was before the election. While the Greens are in opposition this time around, we saw that three seats were won by Green MPs and that the Green Party vote was at the second highest of all time. What do you think this is indicated about what voters want to see in Parliament?
I think at this election it was really clear that the public supported much of what we were standing for. I mean, we know, for example, that the proposed wealth tax and reducing taxes for 95% of New Zealanders, providing free dental for everyone, renters' rights, those things were popular even well beyond the Green Party's support base. So I do think that people kind of credited us with that, and we helped to shape the narrative of the campaign.
Despite this, we saw that Labor did lose a significant amount of seats. Why do you think the Progressive Bloc fell short this election?
It actually wasn't a complete wipeout in of the Progressive Bloc. I mean, the Māori Party increased their vote share and the number of seats that they hold. With the Greens, obviously, increased ours and had a very successful election in that sense. Labor obviously did lose a number of seats, but if you look at the right wing vote, it's kind of not much north of 50%, and actually the National Party only won marginally more votes this time than Jacinda Ardern did in 2017. So not even clearing 40%. So I don't think that it's as kind of tectonic a shift as some people are making out, and I do hope that the new government kind of considers that and actually tries to govern on behalf of the many, not the few who funded them.
What are your priorities in opposition going to be?
Well, at one level, they have not changed, right? So action on climate change, protecting our native wildernesses and wildlife, and on building a fairer society, those are the priorities that we stood on in the campaign. We have stood for a very long time. We will continue to put pressure on the government to continue on that track as well. We have yet to kind of develop our full strategy. I mean, it's only been a week and a half, and our new MPs haven't been sworn yet, and they're still getting their kind of feet under the table. So, we'll take the remaining months of this year to develop our full strategy for opposition.
As the Green Party, one of your priorities has been and is going to be the climate. In your opinion, what could a National ACT, or depending on special votes, potentially National ACT, New Zealand First coalition, mean for climate action in Aotearoa?
Well, I mean, I said this very frequently during the course of the election campaign, that I'm very, very worried about what the ACT Party was saying about climate change and what New Zealand First were also saying about it, spreading misinformation and so on. So I do think that it is concerning the level of influence that those parties may have over the next government. So I guess because we don't know yet what it's going to look like, it's hard for me to comment on specifics.
The new government has expressed that they would look into bringing back new offshore oil and gas exploration. Why is this something that you would advise against?
Well, I just think it's bonkers. I mean, we know that we cannot burn 80% of the reserves that we already have around the world if we're to have any hope of halting the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees. And we're already seeing the impacts of that with, Cyclone Gabrielle, the floods in Auckland and so on. So I think it's the height of irresponsibility to say, in the middle of a climate crisis, that you're going to expand fossil fuel production.
The new government has expressed concern about our economy. What argument would you make for climate action being an economical decision?
Well, actually, action on climate change is good for the economy. It's actually better for the economy than not taking action on climate change, given the massive costs involved in the cleanups after those anniversary day floods in Auckland and Cyclone Gabrielle a couple of weeks later. If you take, for example, solar power, it's the cheapest form of energy ever created by the human race. And so the more solar that you roll out, the cheaper electricity becomes. The more businesses are able to reduce those costs. It reduces inflation. It helps householders out with their household energy bills and so on. So, you know, the idea that, you know, we should stick with fossil fuels, the cost of which is going up, when you've got renewable clean alternatives, the cost of which is going down, is economic vandalism in my view.
Do you have any concerns about any particular legislative progress or climate action progress that we've made over the past few years being taken away?
Well, it's all at risk, but ultimately we just don't know what the new government is going to do or what it looks like, so we're just going to have to wait and see.
And you've been climate minister for a number of years. What will your approach be to working with the new government? Will your door be open to the new climate minister if they want to collaborate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that as a country, we cannot afford to have these massive swings in climate change policy every time the government changes. The whole approach that I took as climate change minister over the last 6 years was to try and build parliamentary consensus, bipartisan consensus on the overall direction. And so anything that I can do to try and help to maintain that, I will do.
And lastly, we've seen that ACT have called for a referendum on Te Tiriti, and they've said that this is one of their bottom lines for negotiations. What is the Green stance on ACT wanting the general public to redefine the principles of the treaty?
We're appalled. We think it's dangerous and divisive and could lead to social unrest.
What specific implications do you think a referendum of this nature would have?
Well, you can just look at Australia, who have just had a referendum on a very minor measure to provide the Indigenous people of Australia with the ability to essentially advise Parliament on how policy affects Aboriginal Australians. And that was defeated by essentially a very heavily kind of, you know, and very divisive campaign against it. And I can see the same thing happening here. Anytime that you decide the rights of a minority through a referendum in which the majority gets to determine the rights of the minority, the minority loses, right? And you know, I think it would set race relations back decades. And I think it would be hugely divisive.
That was Green Party co-leader James Shaw discussing the election results and potential plans of the incoming government.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.